we all do it?
Sehr gut.
Sehr gut.
Tired?
A little bit. I'm knackered. I'm very extremely tired. You know, I had to be at the photo shoot yesterday by 12, and I just told myself I can't physically make it. But it was a great time this weekend, right?
Yes.
Thursday we were there at our place with the guys. We had like a little bachelor's eve with some spicy soup and some games. It was fun. And then Friday we had the traditional wedding. It was long, but it was great, man. I had fun. You know, wearing the outfit from where Igoche is from. So where Igoche is from in Nigeria, it's called Benue State. And the color we wore, which is black and red, is the color of the people that come from where Igoche is from. So it was the first experience for me. And I think me and Prince did well in the outfit. I think we rocked it well. And then we had the wedding yesterday. What I can tell everybody who wasn't there is the ghost chase is a shy kisser. Yeah. He has the record for the shortest marriage kiss in ICOC. I remember Prince. We had to stop Prince. I remember that. We had to stop. Yeah, it was too long. Yeah, it was too long. We had to stop it. Yeah, so, is it good? I mean, the church was studying Acts, right, as a group. And last time, Libero talked about, Peter healing the lame man, right, in the gate. It says silver, was it the lame man or the blind man? I'm trying to remember. Lame. It says silver and gold I have not, right? You know, but all I have, I can give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I think there's a song we have like that in the kids' kingdom. And so as I was reading Acts 5, you know, to be honest, I was asking myself, what, you know, can I talk about with Acts 5? Or at Acts 4, sorry. So I'm going to title the short talk this morning, The Critical Points of Today's Christian. Amen? The Critical Point of Today's Christian. And the reason why I say this is because the church is starting here. Do you agree, guys? You know, Jesus has died. Jesus has gone into heaven. Jesus has promised them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the church is starting. So if you read Acts 2 in the ending part, it says there was a great fellowship. The Spirit was with them. And there were a thousand plus that were being saved, right? Yeah, it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who have been saved. So the church was growing. And so what Luke does in the writing here is sort of building it to a crescendo of how the church is growing. And so when I was reading Acts 4, I thought there's some critical points that I can imbibe in my Christian life or my discipleship. Question I have for the church is, who is today's Christian? What do you think is today's Christian? If I was to ask you today who a Christian is, what would you say the person is? Any questions, any answers, any thoughts, any inputs, any additions? Who is today's Christian?
Somebody who believes in God.
Someone who believes in God. Amen.
God. Follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus. Amen. So someone who admits that they've gone wrong and Jesus has saved them and decides to live a better life. Amen. You know, for me, I always thought about when people say, you know, ask me, Omo, are you a Christian? And I say, no. And they be like, why? I say, I'm a disciple. I can tell you I'm a disciple. I can't tell you I'm a Christian. And they say, why? I said, you have to look at my life. And by God's Spirit say, I think this person is just like Christ. Amen? Because I think the word Christian is always, we use it quite often without understanding the intricacy of what the word means. I always say I'm a disciple. Meaning I'm trying to study. I don't think I'm there yet. On Saturday, you know, we were reading Ephesians. And then, you know, my wife and my sister had a couple of my flaws, you know, that they told me about that really got me thinking. And I was like, I need to die to this. And I was thinking about it this morning for like 5 minutes. Quiet, and I was like, I need to die to this. You know, and I start and I stop and I start and I stop. So for me, I think people outside have to look at me and say, I believe this person is like Christ. Amen. So today's Christian, we cannot be able to conceptualize it. Amen. It is through God's Spirit that those who understand what Christ should be like can look at us, look at our fellowship, look at our family, and be able to assess and say, I think these people are behaving like Jesus Christ. Amen? And let's read Peter 4. So we're going to read the whole Peter 4, but we're going to break it. Act 4. My brain is on Peter right now, Peter and John. But Acts 4. And we're going to read the whole Acts 4. And I'm going to break it into bits. So we're going to do 1 to 21. Because that's my first point. So we'll do 1 to 21. Does anybody want to read? Otherwise, I can read. Acts 4, 1 to 21. Sorry. But we're talking about Peter, right? But it's Acts 4, 21. Alright, I'll read. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. And so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power? Or what name do you do this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then you know this, you and all people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They're Christians. Amen. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called to them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Any further threats, and after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years. Some of us are above 40, amen, go. And some of us are below 40, amen, Azuka. And I'm sure this guy hasn't walked for a long time. Amen. Does anybody know who Caiaphas is that Luke is writing about? The high priest. You see, Luke is intentionally writing something in the scripture. He's talking about Caiaphas and Annas. And if you go back, I think it's in John, you would see that these are the same people that judged Jesus and put Jesus Christ to death. So they were the people who pushed Jesus to Pilate and were before Jesus was crucified. And they are the people who understand the threat of Christianity, of the religion that we all are gathered here in this room, you know, and that which we profess, and which is that only through Jesus Christ can we all be saved. However, there was a question that struck me. In Acts 4, verse 7b, the priest asked, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Amen, church? The question was asked, "By what power or what name did you do this?" And when I read the Bible and I was thinking about it, it means that not only Jesus can people use to heal people. It means that not only Jesus, but there are also powers that we see in spirits. We see also in the Bible when Saul goes to meet the witch of Endor, right? And so it was an important question to ask. What power did you do this with? So then who is a Christian? My first point from Acts 4 is, a Christian is someone who shares his faith to glorify God. You know, yesterday something interesting happened. And I was speaking with Till, and he met a guy in the hall who had a peculiar type of hat. And Till came to meet me and was like, he likes the hat and he would like the guy to be in church. And really, Till asked the guy, "Would you love to come to church?" And it was very convicting for me, because I was like, wow, that's so amazing, you know? And Till took me to the guy and I was like, "Hi, do you know him?" It's almost like, "Do you like the hat?" And I'm like, not my preference, but it's a nice hat. And I was like, and it was like, you know, you should come to church. You know? But a Christian is someone who shares their faith to glorify God. And we see Peter talking to the Sanhedrin. Peter is talking about his faith to glorify God. And the question for me is, when was the last time I shared my faith? You know, on Wednesday I was in the office and my spirit just kept on nudging me. There's this colleague I have at work. You know, I mean, my wife also challenged me at a point, you know, to invite him to like Bible talk or something. And every time we have this nice conversation about God and Christ and Bible, and it's always nice, and he has like kids. So we always have these aligned views about, you know, what we see about raising kids and stuff in the Bible also. And on God, Wednesday, I must confess, my spirit was like, yo, you should ask him. And I never got a perfect time, you know. But are we sharing our faith, church? You know, and I'm not saying this to you or asking you a question based on the fact that I think I'm doing it well. But it's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Are we sharing our faith? And if we're sharing our faith, is it because we're sharing our faith just to fulfill our righteousness? Or are we sharing our faith to glorify God? You know, I was happy when my wife told me that the neighbors really loved our singing from house church the last time. You know, and she said, we're going to invite them over the next time. So I'm looking forward to house church again in my own place. You know, so we can get our old neighbors by the side to come, you know, over and also have like a house church service with us. You know, but are you sharing your faith? And even if you're sharing your faith, are you sharing your faith because of the fact that you are an eloquent, verbose person? Or are you sharing your faith to glorify God? Do you feel timid? Do you feel like you do not have the whole vocabulary in the world? Or do you feel like you haven't read enough of the scripture and that's why you can't share your faith? But the Bible says here, in verse 13, Acts 4, it says, when they saw the courage, amen, of Peter and John, not they saw the vocabulary, not they saw the level of scripture, they said, when they saw the courage, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, but they were astonished, and they took note that these people had been with Jesus Christ. So, church, all you need is the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God doesn't give us the spirit of timidity, amen? But the Spirit of God gives us boldness to profess our faith. And our faith is that Jesus is Lord of all, amen? So, I think for sure, the critical point for today's Christian is a Christian who is willing to share their faith. Amen? Yes. I think in Germany, we don't have that culture, you know, of always walking up to people, you know, and sharing faith. There's a sister in the church in Berlin, you know, who I admire so much for that gift. And she just knows how to, you know, she's from New Zealand. She just knows how to walk up to people. Hi, I want to talk about Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you about Jesus. I just want to tell you how Jesus saved my life. You know, when she visited us two years ago, we were in the store together in Edeka. And she just walked up to a lady who was at the checkpoint, and we were paying, and she was like, hi, would you like to come to church? You know? And she's like, oh, she sees me and Clara around, and she would like, you know, to talk to us about God and stuff. And that's how, you know, we met Sarah. So I don't know if everybody knows Sarah. So Sarah and Matthew, that's how we met Sarah. And it was a sister who visited from Berlin who just had the boldness in Christ to talk about Jesus Christ. And she didn't really talk about, you know, the Bible or anything. But she was just excited about God. Yeah. I think that's something that we need to think about. You know, about if we're willing or comfortable or you just feel like, it's not for me, I don't think I should share my faith, you know. But if we don't share our faith, then who then will? Now, next point, Acts 4:23-31. A today's Christian has to be prayerful. Second point, amen? A today's Christian has to be prayerful. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. I'm reading from 23. And reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voice together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit to the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and we had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus Christ. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Church, do you believe in prayer? Do you believe in prayer? You know, a lot of times when we want to think about what's going on with the church or how we want to fix it, we're always in solution mode. I think if we were to do a vision board on how we want to fix what's wrong in Düsseldorf Church or in church in Germany, I'm sure everybody will come up with great ideas because we have a lot of smart people in church, right? But here, we see people reminding God of the scripture and committing their ways to God first before any form of strategy. Amen. I'm sure if you guys are looking for the perfect planning or the perfect Excel design, you know, my wife can do that for us. Amen. But what about prayer? You know, what about prayer? I think it's a critical point for today's question to be prayerful. How is your prayer life? You know, sometimes, you know, me and my wife, we want to pray and it's almost bedtime, you know, and I'm struggling. You know, if I'm the one praying, I mean, maybe she will lose sleep sometimes, most times. But if she's the one praying, you know, and it's not a short prayer, it's a long one. I've had this case where sometimes I'm just like, and I go back, and I'm like, I just snore, you know. And then I'm like trying to walk my way back into the prayer, you know, to know where is she at right now. When I slept off, I think we're praying about family. Is she praying about our career, or our safety, you know? But in all honesty, how are we praying together? You know, when I was in church in Munich, I had a couple of brothers. We used to go into the woods, 2 hours, 30 minutes walk in the morning, and we would just pray and talk about how our life has been. It's very refreshing for me. Are we just busy trying to fix our lives, fix what's wrong in the church, but rather than calling God and inviting His Spirit to actually do the work and then strategize? The Bible is clear, right? In Philippians 4, you know, that we should just ask. We should submit. We should forget about our anxiety, leave our anxiousness, and we should just ask with prayer and petition and thanksgiving what we want in God, right? The Bible is clear about this. So, I don't know if you feel like you can't share your faith because you are shy. Pray to God for boldness. I don't care if you say, I can't host people because I can't cook very well. Pray to God for the skills to cook. I remember a time ago, people would ask me how I got to sing bass in church. You know, when so I came from a smaller church. You know, and I remember that we had tenor singers, we had alto singers, we had soprano singers, but we had no bass in church. And for those people who know me from the get-go, my voice wasn't very deep in the beginning. I just kept on praying. I said, God, I want to sing bass in church. I don't know how, I just want to sing bass in church. We don't have a bass singer, I want to sing bass in church. And, amen, to his glory, one day, I woke up, my voice is getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and I'm singing bass now, and it's easier for me, it comes smoothly. You know, and I remember a friend of mine, I met him in Dallas, he was like, I remember when we were in uni, you weren't singing bass. You were just like singing soprano with a deep voice, but it wasn't bass. But I heard you recently, and that's bass, bro. That, like, you're singing bass so well. I'm like, you know. And I was gonna say, and I told him it was a lot of practice and stuff. And then when I got into the car, I was like, man, that's not true. I prayed to God about this. I should have told my friend. You know, it was God that gave me this gift. So really, are we praying? Because if you're not praying, and we have 10,000 people in the hall that we all invited to church based on our marketing skills or based on how the boss we are, it really isn't bringing glory to God. Amen? It's edifying the flesh. Amen? You know, I recently my wife came up with a plan for something we wanted to do as a family, and it was so nice and all. And the first question I asked her is, have you prayed about this? And she's like, yes, no, but then you can take a look at the plan and say, have you prayed about this? You know, and I said, okay, even if you've prayed, have you fasted about this? You know, have you sought God's face? You know, and she's like, oh, we can fast together. I'm like, no, we can fast together for sure, but this is something you started by yourself. If you're going to fast, you're going to fast alone as well. So, with things that we want to do for ourselves, is it that we think we're so skilled and we start? I remember my first semester in school in Germany, I failed 4 courses. You know, because I wasn't taking school serious. I was just living my life. You know, and I remember, in the clerk, I remember, I was one day in a chair, I was crying to God. I said, God, I can't fail. I said, God, I can't fail. I kept on crying. I said, God, I'm not a failure. I can't fail. God, please help me. Before any strategy, before anything, God, I just can't fail. I was crying like a baby. I remember, you know, there was a shift for me mentally. And I disassociated myself with a lot of friends. And it was just library class. And this is something I don't do because I don't have the attention span to just stay and be reading. If it's maths, I can solve maths. I love maths. But if it's reading books, I don't have the attention span for it. But I saw myself reading, and I was just, 2 semesters, I was done. So church, I don't know what it is that we want to go through or we have in church that we want to do. But I believe in the power of prayer. Amen. I believe that a today's Christian has to be a prayerful Christian. There has to be a Christian that's calling on God's name for everything before you start. Amen? My last point. A today's Christian is always giving. Amen? A today's Christian is always giving. Acts 4 verse 32. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possession was their own. But they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, that there were no needy person among them. For from the time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it in the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. You know, and Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostle called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, so they filled the hole and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. There's something very peculiar about how Luke writes Acts 4. He's always drawing everything back to us, that the Holy Spirit and God gave these people the capacity that they have. I don't know about you, but I see it a lot in how Luke is writing the scripture. He's writing it and he's saying, man, the Holy Spirit gave Peter and John the ability to heal. The Holy Spirit gave Peter and John the boldness to speak to the Pharisees. The Holy Spirit was with them when they prayed, and the whole place shook. The Holy Spirit touched their hearts to give. I don't know about you, but I really want to be touched by the Holy Spirit in that way. Amen. So do you have a giving heart? You gotta ask yourself that question. If you don't have a giving heart, how are you a Christian? You know? A friend of mine came and was like, oh, you drive a Mercedes. And I said, it's just a car. That's what it is. It's a car. And I remember something that Debbie said. I didn't know Debbie remembered. She reminded me, you know, because when I was in campus, I would always say that I cannot drive a two-seater. That's not possible. In fact, I said I was going to drive a Sienna. So the long bus. I said, that's going to be my car. And I said, because I want to be able to go to church and have space to pick people up and drop them off at home. And I remember that because it's something my father always used to do. You know, because we live closer to the school. And so a lot of campus people will get in the back seat and then we'll in the back and we'll all drive to campus, you know. But how are you willing to give? Do you get burnt out from giving? I do. Amen. Do you get burnt out from giving? Because you've weighed it. That this person gave me a container of water, but I gave him four packs of water. Sometimes it creeps into my mind as well. But you see, if the Holy Spirit and God isn't driving your giving, then you're always going to think like that. Do you pray before you give? Is giving something spiritual for you? Or are you giving to please people? Oh, then, because before you know it, oh, he didn't say thank you. But if he didn't say thank you, and you were giving because you were giving for God, then it's a different case entirely. You know, a lot of times when people tell me thank you for giving, I say, don't tell me thank you. And everybody's like, why? I think it's pride. I say, no, I know myself. If you continue telling me thank you, it's going to get into my head. And I'm going to feel like I'm doing a lot. And I don't think I'm doing a lot. What an honor it is, church, to give. Amen? What an honor it is to give. And sometimes I have to really work on my heart. Because I struggle sometimes. I'm like, man, I don't want to give. You know? Sometimes, a lot of times, God uses my wife, you know. Okay, I think you should, you know, do it like this. You know? I shared the last time, I said, you know, when Andre cancelled for singing and he was like, oh, do it, I was like, I don't want to sing, you know. Why did you tell me 2 days ago? Why are you telling me this morning, you know? And I said, what an honor it is to you know, to be able to sing in God's church. So, what's our heart towards giving? Imagine giving to the point where they changed your name from Prince to Barnabas. Amen. Imagine giving to the point where they change your name from Deborah to Barnaby. Because, you know, because Deborah has a heart of giving. Imagine people seeing you like that. How much of an encouragement are you to the church and to the people around you? or do you feel like it's my need more? You know, sometimes it's like, I need, why don't I have, why don't I get? How much of an encouragement are we to the people around us? Are we close to people only because we have ulterior motives? I just want to know what's going on in their life. Not because I really care, but I just want to know what's happening in their household. Are we just asking questions just to understand people and not opening our hearts to share about ourselves as well? Does the need of your brother or sister concern you? You know, I remember, you know, like in campus, you know, I think Debbie was in my campus ministry, so she knows, you know, you couldn't be hungry in our church as a campus. That's not possible. You're hungry as a campus in our church? That's not possible. Because your hunger is my hunger. You know, your hunger is my hunger. So does the need of the next person concern you? If it doesn't, then there's something wrong. You are not a Christian, amen? Because remember, I said that people have to look at us and say, I think this person is Christ-like. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the disciples said, send them away. Amen? Send them away. And Jesus says, no, we can feed them. This morning I woke up and said, how did Jesus feed the 5,000? I was like, is it that he broke 5 bread and everybody started bringing out the food they had hidden and didn't want to share? I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm not just going to mathematically try to understand it. Because there was 12 baskets full. And I'm like, is it that God touched people's heart and they just started bringing out the bread they hid in their ties for like two hours and they were not going to give? I don't know what Jesus did, you know? So, is God being glorified in your encouragement? You know, I was told yesterday that I'm not a very good listener. You know, so that's something I also have to think about. Because I just always want to share and just let it go quick. You know, so maybe this time I need to, you know. And for all those who told me I'm not a good listener, when I'm not listening, just tell me so that I stop. Because that's the only way I grow. So then, you know, for me, I think that's what this fourth scripture, I can apply it to myself. Putting it into thoughts, into practice. The critical point for me from this scripture, from an early church, is just that willingness to share, you know, about my faith. You know. Two, the ability to pray. Amen. And, you know, three, the willingness to give. You know. At the end, we need to have a one mind, one heart, and above all, one spirit, one God, and one Savior mentality. You know, there's a song where I'm from, in Nigeria, we always sing, all I have is given to me by the Lord. All I have is given to me by my God. And so when you sing that song, you realize that you're just a middleman. Amen. I saw a video of a billionaire who said, no one is taking the U-Haul to the grave. I'm not going to attach my wealth to the grave. I'm just going to die and leave everything here. Amen. And so we need to try. So I leave all of us with this quote. And this is a quote that I found out this week. And I want this to be the quote that guides my life from now on. It's in Latin. It said, the quote is, quod tango mutuo. Quod tango mutuo. That which I touch, I change. Amen? That which I touch, I change. I want this to stick with us in our heart. That which I touch, I change. Amen? I want us to be disciples that when we touch people, people feel change. either from our smile in the train or in the bus, because a lot of people are not smiling in Germany, man. I don't know what they're going through. But just from a smile in the train, and I've seen it happen, where someone's very angry and I'm like, smiling. And for the person like, smiling too, you know? So, either from our smile, we don't have to do too much. We don't have to be people pleasers, amen. But just in the morning, just say, God, I'm going to take the train today. Or I'm going to drive to work today. And I just want someone to feel your presence and your touch through me. I just, God, I don't want to do too much. I don't have the power. I don't think I have the power. I just want someone to just feel you through me today. It doesn't have to be every day, man. Because sometimes we don't have the social battery to get everything done. But one day, you know, a week or 2 days a week, start small. God, I just want to go out today. And God, I know that the devil is going to tempt me. Because for me, if I'm driving, someone's going to, you know, someone's going to take left, right, and then right, left. And then I'm going to be like, you know. But God, just help me today that somebody feels blessed by me.
Amen.
Amen. And I say with that to God, be the glory. Amen.
Yeah.